trusting your heart and not your mind. Why is that so hard? It's hard because of the history of separation that humanity has gone through. It may be hard personally as well, but it's hard because of our collective history. In order to feel safe, in order to feel like life could be ordered, just ordered, the mind became activated as a way of managing life in physical form. And that's because the separation based on the vibrational gap between being in a physical body and being in a light body had gotten very large by virtue of coming to the earth. So the history of separation from the vibration of unity is what created the attachment to the mind. And this wasn't an accident. This was part of the intended degree of individuation that was part of the divine plan, so that human beings could experience themselves as thoughts and emotions. That wasn't an accident. That was part of the way of becoming a distinct self. So in this time now, which has been for a long time now, when many are trying to feel what else exists beside what is visible, or beside what it is that we think, there's a longing to return to the invisible, and the invisible, it manifests or makes itself known not through the mind, but through the heart and through the soul. The soul is very connected to the deeper layers of the heart, which holds the values. Whatever you value most in life, whatever your deepest heart tells you is most meaningful to you, whatever you love the most deeply is connected with your soul. So that's how you know what your soul is. So, the heart. The heart has messages that it gives to us all of the time. It's a location. It's a location of meaning that can be focused on at any point during the day. Doesn't depend on what you're doing. For example, you could be doing something mechanical. So before the heart becomes numb or inaccessible, there are feelings. But then, because of distress, frustration, a sense of hopelessness, situations that can't change, then we stop feeling the activity of the heart. And so we don't believe it's there. We don't feel it, so we don't think it's there. In principle, we know that, but in practice, we don't know it. And when that happens, when we don't feel our heart actively, then we rely more on our mind. And so that too becomes not only a historical movement, but an individual movement. Because the heart feels less accessible, we go to our mind to tell us how to experience things and what our experience is. One of the ways to reverse that is to know that you want to reverse it. First comes the motivation, and that is the foundation. The foundation is the motivation to live from the heart. Once that's there, there is the understanding that everything is relationship. There's not any moment in time when you're not in relationship with the universe and with the divine in the universe. The activity of the moment doesn't take you away from it. Everything is part of the divine. So it's only our thinking that takes us away. So one of the good things to say in shorthand form, if everything is relationship, then we need to be conscious of our relationship to what is inside us, around us, people, environments, just the immediacy of the present. Everything is relationship. If we remember that, we begin to have a handle to finding our own heart. Everything is relationship, then what do we feel about this relationship? This person, this conversation, this activity, sitting at a computer, for example, for hours. What do we feel about that? What do we feel being outside and breathing the fresh air? All of that's the heart. It's also the body, but it's also the heart. But we have to ask ourselves the question. And what's happened over time, because of the historical dimension and the individual dimension of loss of accessibility, is when an impulse comes from the heart, we're afraid to trust it. We're afraid because we've relied so much on our mind to define reality. And so we keep clinging to the mind and clinging to it and clinging to it, and then wondering where our heart is. But in fact, we're clinging to the mind out of a need for security, which means out of fear. Fear creates invalidation of the heart's messages. Fear creates a separation from the soul's messages coming through the heart, even while we say we're looking for it, even while we're talking about wanting to live more from the heart, we're still holding on to the mind out of fear. And the fear is many-leveled. The fear is of being alone. The fear is of being different from others. The fear is of making a mistake. The fear is of trusting the heart and going in the wrong direction. It comes from all of the legacy of not having the experience of trusting our heart. So as a result, we invalidate it. We get the message from the heart in a gentle way, in a quiet way, or maybe even in a strong way. We get a message about what we feel or where we're meant to go or what's supposed to happen or what feels right, but we don't listen. We invalidate. We don't listen because we're afraid to trust, because we trust our mind to define reality. And that's why, beloveds, this is why, this time is one of needing to trust the unknown. Because in the crossing over into a more integrated, deeper, fuller, richer spiritual life, one has to cross into the unknown. There isn't another way. You cross into the unknown by letting go of the familiar. And so that surrender into the unknown becomes part of how you find your heart. You let go of what's familiar. You let go of it because it is familiar, and you want to try to find another part of yourself that's less familiar. And believe it or not, it becomes easier. The more you practice that, not invalidating your heart, the easier it becomes. But the surrender into the unknown is an important part of it because of the years and years and lifetimes of valuing the mind and what it tells us. We can then look at this time we're in as a way of encountering our fear of the unknown, our mistrust of the unknown. In a way, this is the stage that most of us are at, wanting something more, but being afraid to trust the more. So we go simultaneously in two opposite directions. The longing is for the heart and the soul to be more clear, to take charge more of life, to be more present. Meanwhile, we're going in the opposite direction out of fear, holding on to the messages that are familiar. And when I say familiar, I don't mean negative or positive. I just mean listening to thoughts, just that. Just listening to the same repetitive thoughts instead of making a space for the unknown. The unknown means you don't know where you are. You don't know what's going to come next. You run the risk of having perceptions that nobody else has because it's your soul, very unique, individual. That's the unknown. You don't know what's going to come up. And the more power you give to the unknown to regulate your life, the more you can feel your heart when it sends you a feeling, a message, and then you begin to open a door. And the door is the messages coming from the divine that comes through your heart. They don't come through your mind because your mind has been the regulator of reality as a substitute, as a coping mechanism. when the divine message wasn't available. So the willingness to surrender the thought process altogether and to be in the unknown is critical for allowing your heart to emerge. And then waiting and not invalidating is critical. And then wanting to surrender out of love is also critical. All of this goes together. So many of us are struggling with this transitional time of moving from the mind to the heart. And one of the things, in addition, we struggle with is appearing to be different than everything around us, because most people we talk to are doing what we're talking about. One has to have the very strong will to make this crossover and the will to serve the divine. One has to have a very strong desire, because the fear of the unknown, fear of making a mistake, fear of not being able to access one's heart, and the fear of not meeting other people's expectations, all of that creates a clinging to the mind, all of it. When it becomes time for the soul to awaken more, when light has expanded more on the earth, when light has expanded more in our bodies, when it becomes time, this won't be an issue. The struggle won't be there, because the soul within each of us will make itself known in a very clear way. It will announce itself in a very clear way, and there won't be a conflict between the mind and the soul, because the soul's vibration is getting stronger, and with the expansion of greater light, that is what is the divine plan for the earth, that the strengthening of the soul within the embodied being is going to make itself felt so strongly that the mind is going to be in a different position relative to defining reality. But we are in a transition now, so we have to deal with what is. So I invite you who want to serve the divine and who want to live from your heart and from your soul, which is intimately connected with it, to look at the places where you're invalidating your heart and then feeling that your heart is missing or you can't find it. Invalidation is the cause of separation, greater separation. There are other causes, as I mentioned, which are the history we've lived through, where the mind has become the only definer of reality. But if you are invalidating your heart and wanting it to be present, you're at cross purposes with yourself. It can't work. So then there has to be, in some place, when you're ready, willing surrender. Willing surrender and the courage to be listening to a voice or a message or a feeling that nobody else hears but you. Nobody else. It's your heart. It's your soul. You were created to be a prism of divine being, but you are unique in that respect. The messages and the purpose is unique. So you have to be willing to hear something that comes to you that you are willing to stand by and be faithful to and not abandon and not invalidate. And when you do that, the door opens more and more, so it becomes easier and easier. It becomes easier with other people, and it becomes easier for yourself to do that. But you have to see first both the invalidation and the fear of the unknown. And then life begins to change, because one is no longer in a role. One is no longer living according to the same thought pattern. When you're not living according to the same thought pattern, then everything can change, because you're not projecting the same thoughts into the world. So that's the good news. Embrace the unknown, and then life begins to change.